The first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 to 15, on page 203. When you have entered the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land that the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians ill-treated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him, and you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Then say to the Lord your God, I have removed from my house the sacred portion and have given it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all you commanded. I have not turned aside from your commands, nor have I forgotten any of them. I have not eaten any of the sacred portion while I was in mourning, nor have I removed any of it while I was unclean, nor have I offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the Lord my God. I have done everything you commanded me. Look down from heaven, your holy dwelling place, and bless your people Israel and the land you have given us, as you promised on oath to our forefathers. A land flowing with milk and honey. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A New Testament lesson can be found on page 989 in the Pew Bibles, and is taken from Matthew chapter 21, beginning to read at the 23rd verse. The authority of Jesus questioned. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things, they asked, and who gave you this authority? Jesus replied, I will ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men? They discussed it among themselves and said, If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people. They will hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, We don't know. Then he said, Neither will I tell you. By what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, Son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. This is the word of the Lord.
Choir, I think, are going to move down. In this little sermon series we're having on giving at the moment, you may have noticed that we're having the same readings in all of our main services. So this Sunday evening as last Sunday evening, some of you may be coming to these passages for the second time today. Some of you may even have had the misfortune of hearing me speak on them twice, and for that you have my apologies. It is at least a different sermon this evening from the one this morning. But our thought is it is good as we come to think about giving to reflect together on the same word that comes to us. And I'd encourage you to open yourself up to hear something new and fresh this evening from what perhaps you did earlier in the day. Well, let's bow our heads and pray as we begin. Lord God, our Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as I say, we're thinking about giving at the moment as we head towards our gift day or gift days. For this service, it will be next Sunday evening, just so you are in the know. Yolanda is going to be preaching the third of our series on giving, and she and Ray, I think, will be talking a bit about how we give in the life of our church. But it's worth saying this topic of giving can seem a bit uncomfortable to us. We are British people, after all. We don't like talking about our money and how we use it very much. We're a bit suspicious often of people who seem keen to tell us what to do with it. Why is it the church's business? One can easily find yourself asking. Not just part of my own private decision making. And today we might wonder why we can't just get on with enjoying a harvest celebration without the question of giving hanging over us. Well, I'm not going to try and answer all those questions this evening, but in our passage from Deuteronomy 26, I trust there may be some Old Testament wisdom to apply to our lives, to our church life, about those things. If you want a passage open, Deuteronomy 26 would be the one to go for. And its basic message is this: we give in worship, thankful for God's gifts to us. We give in worship, thankful for God's gifts to us. In an agricultural society, of course, those things were tightly tied together with harvest. And so harvest becomes a moment to reflect on both, as we do today. We give in worship, highlighting the key point, thank you, Christian. We give in worship, thankful for God's gifts to us. How does this work in Israel's life? The start of the passage is really, really important. Verse 1, when you've entered the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and taken possession of it and settled in it. Here in Deuteronomy, Moses is talking to Israel. They're on the borders of the promised land, 40 years out from Egypt, wandering around in a desert, and here they are finally, not only in the place, but with the nerve to go forward in God's grace. Read the story in the book of Joshua to find out more. This land is God's gift to them. It is to be the inheritance of them as his people. So once they are there, Moses looks forward. Once they've taken it over, they need to recognize that, to remember it, to respond to its presence as gift. Today we are not people with a land, but we are people of God's covenant. We enter that covenant by grace, and it is a covenant that covers the whole of the world, the whole of life, the whole of who we are. And we too are called to be responsive, to recognize, to remember that that is the case, that it is God's gift to us. And the people of Israel respond in worship. It may not perhaps look quite like worship as we imagine it, but worship nonetheless. And Moses gives them a simple set of actions, a simple liturgy, if you like, to follow. First, they are to take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. What might that mean for you or for me? Most of us, I guess, are not farmers, though there may be a vegetable or two somewhere in the back garden that you could pluck up. But it's good to ask, what have we produced? What have I produced? It may not be easy to put in a basket, I accept, but we can still acknowledge the things we've made, the things we've done, as first of all God's gift, rather than our own work. What would that be for you? So they take, and then they go. Then go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. The produce is gathered, but then taken to God's special place where he dwells among his people. Ultimately, that was Jerusalem, and that may be the easiest thought to have in your mind, though for many years it was elsewhere before Jerusalem was turned into the place of the temple under David. But the point is this: they actively bring what they have produced before the Lord. Many travel, probably over long distances, to do it. This is something that is a commitment, an important reality in the life of the people of Israel. What are the things that sit in our calendars each year where we think, now I must go and do that? It's part of what matters in my life. So they take, they go, and then they say. Verse 3, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land that the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. It's a short opening statement, but it is a crucial one. As they bring what they've produced, they recognize that it is ultimately the work and gift of God. He has given them this land. He has fulfilled his promise to them. That's the context of having produce to present before him in the first place. It's so easy to think, my stuff is mine because I made it, or I worked for it, or I paid for it. And there is an important truth in that. But it's not the basic truth about things. God gives the land. God gives what we have. And later they make a longer declaration on the history of all of this, looking back to the original wandering Aramaean, tracing the story down through Egypt and Exodus to the land of promise flowing with milk and honey. It's good good to remember how they got there. It's good to remember how we got here. What's the story that you and I inhabit? For us Christians, it is a longer story that takes in this short creed and makes it part of a longer one, climaxing in the coming of the Son of God to draw us into a new kingdom, fertile with hope. That's one of the reasons we say the creed in our worship services, and one of the reasons that the creed in many ways looks more like a story than like anything else. It is our story into which we fit our lives, our actions, our responses to God. And here it leads to these closing words. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. They take, they go, they say, and then they give. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. What the Lord has given to you, give back to him. There is a deep focus on God here, but there's also a strong human element. Look at verse 11. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things that the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Placing the basket before God isn't the end of the story. Giving the gift back to him isn't the end of the story. Here, having a feast, having a party, is what you finish up with. That's often the case in things in the temple in Israel. We think of it as a pretty gory place, and that was in many ways probably true. But the end of a lot of sacrifice was feasting, festivity, gladness before the Lord. Perhaps here they used the fruit, first fruits they bought. Maybe they brought other food. But certainly not a selfish, close-knit party, the sort which is just for me and my kind. For the aliens who don't have land of their own are invited too. The Levites who look after the temple and were never given any land in the first place are to be invited. The focus here is on food, and the non-food producers get to join in the thanks. Harvest, we do something similar, don't we? We bring some of our first fruits before the Lord in thanks. And we often feast in thanks too for his gift, for the blessings we receive. It's a good practice to follow. I'd commend it to you. But that isn't the end of the story in this passage, for there is more to say about our giving. There's a little bit of a hint of it in the story so far, with that invitation to aliens and Levites. But there is more to say in the last part of the passage to see our full theme. And the context here is the tithe, the giving of a tenth of your produce. Background back in chapter 14, if you want to read more about it. And for 2 years, there is a tithe to be given to God, which must have been in a way quite similar to the celebration of the first fruits at the start of our chapter. But in the third year, something different happens. Verse 12, you shall give it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. We have a vertical relationship, if you like, of gift and offering with God. But we also have a horizontal relationship of gift and receiving with our human community, and in particular the poorest and the weakest in it. God cares for the poor. He puts in place arrangements to help them, of which this is one. Practically, in our own society, we do many of these things through government-run welfare services. And in all sorts of ways, there's a lot of common sense in that. But there is a danger that we come to see those as distant things outside the context of human relationships, for people we aren't really responsible for, but who are different from us, somewhere other than us. And we easily come to resent, don't we, the taxes we pay towards them. We lose sight so often of the responsibility we're given in passages like this one, to give from what God has given to us. And what follows shows that this is no marginal thing. Central it is to a good life before God. Then say to the Lord your God, I have removed from my house the sacred portion and have given it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all you have commanded. I have not turned aside from your commands, nor have I forgotten any of them. If this Israelite farmer, whoever they may have been, wanted to say they had served God, that they had obeyed the command, that they had followed the law, they couldn't bypass the poor or the alien on the way. God's way of life goes straight through this territory of giving, grounded in thanksgiving, expressed in worship. And the same should be true for us, giving to support others in our community, giving to support the life of the church, perhaps the equivalent of including the Levites in your gifts for this Israelite. But whatever we give, however we care, whatever we give to support, it shouldn't be a bitter burden, but a joyful response to grace. And we do it all in hope, hope seen in that final prayer. Look down from heaven, your holy dwelling place, and bless your people Israel and the land you have given us, as you promised on oath to our forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. We too hope for this blessing, and we can trust in it, for the reality is that God's gift always comes first, and our obedience is a true response to it. We give in worship, thankful for God's gifts to us. Moment of quiet, and we'll pray. Father God, we hold ourselves before you this harvest season. We bring you our thanks for all you give to us. We hold before you the things that are the produce of our lives, whatever those may be. And for those we give you thanks. We hold before you the temptation to grasp these things to ourselves, saying, mine, mine, not yours, yours. And we pray for your forgiveness and for your help. And we pray you will guide us in generosity. As we know your grace to us, may we be gracious to others. For we ask it in the name of the one who gave his whole self, that we might have life and hope and a future, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.